From jet engines to space rockets, telephones to computers, the world has seen spectacular change in the last 100 years, and the pace of progress is getting faster and faster. From electric cars to the metaverse, drone deliveries to climate solutions and genetic sequencing, we're investing in the companies that are not just changing the world today, but are also shaping the future. The Scottish Mortgage Investment Trust, managed by Baillie Gifford. Invest in progress. Capital at risk.
Welcome to The Advice Show. This is Jack Gilbert, the editor of NMA. And today I'm joined by Edward Garrett, head of private clients of Charities Aid Foundation, or CAF. Ed, thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
Now, Ed, CAF is a name that many of our advisor audiences may not be totally familiar with. Can you just explain to me what CAF is and how you work with financial advisors?
So CAF is a charity here in the UK and in the US and Canada. Our main service that we provide to donors is as a donor advised fund. So a donor advised fund is effectively a legal wrapper to enable philanthropists or donors to give to charity easily, tax efficiently, and in without any of the risk and the hassle of setting up their own private foundation.
So it's an alternative for a philanthropist to set up their own trust.
Exactly.
You guys do it all for them.
We take on all of the compliance. We provide the legal wrapper that, as I say, that the money flows through and gives it the tax effectiveness of giving to charity. And we take absolute responsibility for managing the assets and making sure that they're secure, and then ultimately at the end of the journey given and deployed to charities in the most effective way possible.
And those charities, you have like a set list of them? How does that work in terms of...
No, so as a donor advised fund, it does kind of what is on this, it says on the tin, which is that the donors can come to us and make requests about the charities that they would like the money to go to, but because we are the legal wrapper, the legal owner of the assets, comparable, you know, lots of your listeners will be familiar with a trust and what the role of the trustees in terms of managing assets in a private wealth portfolio, exactly the same as that. Our trustees are ultimately responsible for the assets that donors give to us and making sure that, as I say, that we're compliant with all of the regulation and so that works all the way through the journey. So getting the money into CAF in terms of the assets that they can contribute and making sure that's done in compliance with AML and KYC and all of the financial regulation that we're registered with the FCA for. Advisors will be very familiar with that sort of process.
They definitely will be.
Yes. And then we manage the assets because we're talking about clients who are giving pretty considerable sums that are likely to be with us for a long time. Minimum is 3 years, but generally our donors have accounts with us for 10 plus years and some end up being multi-generational. And so we invest the assets on their behalf whilst they're with us. And then ultimately we help them come up with strategies for deploying the assets and giving it away to effective charitable organisations here in the UK and all around the world.
Well, we can come back to the investment point in a second, but can you talk me a bit through about how your relationships with advisors work, like how many you work with and how they actually function, those relationships?
Sure. So we work with hundreds, if not thousands, of advisors. So in the donor advised fund that I look after and my team looks after, we've got about 2,500 donors for whom we manage £1.5 billion or there or thereabouts of assets. And, you know, these are high net worth, ultra high net worth individuals. So they will almost always already have a suite of advisors, including a financial planner and estate planning advisors. And so we will sit down and work with those advisors to help plan the most tax effective way to fulfill the client, the donor's giving ambitions. So we don't give the tax advice. As I say, we'll work with the financial planner or the tax advisor to work out what assets from the client's portfolio are going to be the most tax effective to give. So, you know, there are obviously tax reliefs for giving to charity. So it might be the income tax relief of giving from regular income in each given year, or there might be assets, shares, or property that's got capital gains exposure. By giving those to charity, it mitigates the capital gains liability. And so, yeah, we'll sit down with the advisors to really work out what's the most effective way to do that, both for the donor and ultimately for the charities that they want to support at the end of the line.
And obviously, I mean, working closely with these clients, you must have some interesting kind of relationships you've built up and stories along the way. I mean, what are the kind of things that you find advisors say when you guys get involved and set up the CAFs for the end client?
Absolutely. So we are seeing, firstly, that philanthropy is a question that is coming up more and more with advisors. That's, I think we certainly within our organization, we talk about values becoming increasingly valuable for wealthy people and for businesses. And so philanthropy and charity is a really great way to get clients to talk about their values. And so actually we get a lot of feedback from advisors who say, wow, the fact that I got to sit in on that conversation that you were having with the client about their values and you were probing them with questions that perhaps I've never thought about asking or we just don't do because that's not the normal course of what we're doing. It was an amazing way for us to deepen our relationship and get to know that client so much better than we did before. So there's a real value add for advisors about being able to have these conversations about philanthropy. And obviously we're here as a kind of trusted referral partner, but equally we want to empower advisors to be able to have those conversations themselves and to really understand what the giving options are and for a client, you know. And that's particularly important with the next gen. You know, anyone in the wealth advice space will have, I'm sure, sat in on CPD sessions or webinars or the like about the intergenerational wealth transfer. And, you know, the most forward-looking progressive businesses are really starting to think, how do we future-proof our business model? How do we make sure that that next-gen inheritors of wealth or entrepreneurs, they are looking at our business? And, you know, we know that next-gen in particular are really looking at philanthropy and impact and the values that they've got that they want to go through their entire wealth management approach. And so philanthropy is a really important kind of part of the toolkit for advisors to be able to talk to their clients about.
And do you find when you kind of come with a new client who wants to donate money, do you find they often know where they want to donate it to, like which charity in particular, which cause? Or is it more of like a journey whereby they say, you know, I want to leave a legacy. Can you help me figure out which cause to leave my money to?
It's absolutely a journey. And each donor will have their own way that they're going to go through that journey. It is an incredibly personal and emotional thing, giving money away. And so being able to understand as an advisor to these wealth holders, and also for those donors themselves, being able to understand where they are on that journey is a really big part of it. So our offering is at the most basic level is just the facility. So it is just the legal wrapper. So if they already have a really clear idea of what they want to do, then we effectively just act as an execution only facility for them. But that we can go right up to the other end of the spectrum where some of the most engaging and fun conversations and relationships that I've been involved in are with clients who had no idea that they were going to be as wealthy as they are. And it all has come as a bit of a surprise to them because
lottery winners.
I've dealt with a few lottery winners, dealt with some people who've sold their businesses and they, you know, it boomed kind of way more than they were ever expecting. And suddenly they've had this massive liquidity moment and they thought, okay, right. So I want to give some money away because I've got this capacity. I want to make sure, first of all, that if I'm going to do that, it is tax effective. And so using a donor advised fund is a really great way to simplify that process. But those clients for me are the best because they're the ones who come with the least ideas and the most open minds to what is possible. And so we get to sit down with them and, you know, I joke with my team that it's as close as we, you know, we get to pretend like we're millionaires and we step into their shoes and help them think about what it is they want their wealth to actually achieve and what it means to them. And those are really, really fascinating and rewarding conversations to have. On top of the facility that we provide, we can go through that entire process with clients. So we can sit down and help them with their families or with their friends. We can run workshops to help draw out their values, help draw out what are their cause areas that they're interested in. And then once we've kind of got that idea and help them to devise a mission statement and a time horizon on which they're going to give the money away and come up with a plan, just like a financial planner will sit down and come up with a life plan in terms of the private wealth portfolio. We go through a similar exercise. And at the end of that, with the strategy, we can then help clients to actually, you know, we can do the research into the cause areas, into mm-hmm. the strategy they've settled on. We can actually go out and find organizations around the world. We can, you know, build the relationships with them. And indeed, one of the biggest advantages to a DAF for many philanthropists is the discretion and the fact that they can do it all anonymously through a donor advised fund. So it compares to setting up a private foundation and having to register it and have your name on the register and have to publish the accounts. And anyone, you know, in the charity fundraising world can find out how much money you've got.
And you have to get regulated to do that.
Yeah, with the Charity Commission. Yeah. And that's exactly all the sort of hassle that we take out of it for donors.
You would say, so if I came to you, Ed, and said, look, I really care about improving literacy levels in Uganda. I want to, you know, this is a big cause of mine. What should I do? How should I donate my £5 million I've got in the bank?
Exactly. So we would come up with, firstly, a time-bound plan for when they want to have deployed all that capital by, because then that allows us to plug in the investment management approach whilst the assets are with us and you know, assess the risk profile they might want with an investment strategy, but all focused on the goal of giving the money away to solve that problem. And so, yeah, we would be able to do the research into the organizations in Uganda, in that example, who are working in that space. And we would sit down with the clients and help them understand, you know, do you want to be doing stuff which is having a direct impact in terms of maybe buying books or building classrooms that you can actually go and see and get the impact data about, you know, how many children you're creating opportunities for? Or do you want to go for a slightly more systemic approach and maybe just find some organizations that are influencing the government in that country as to how to strengthen the education sector, or some blend of those different approaches? And again, just like a financial planner will be sitting down saying, great, you're going to allocate X percent of your portfolio to your living expenses this year, we would say, fine, in this year, we're going to allocate 20% to systemic approach, 70% to the direct impact work, and then that leaves 10% of your giving plan each year available for more emotional, less strategic giving that you might want to sponsor friends who are running a marathon or that sort of thing. And by helping donors to come up with that plan, we really empower them to make sure their giving is as effective as possible. And when I'm having these conversations with clients, I often say, the measure of success on your journey will be when you are able to start saying with confidence no to some giving opportunities or asks that cross your desk or your kitchen table, because you've got a really clear plan that you're really proud of and really confident of. And so success actually comes to, as I say, to sometimes being able to say no to other things.
Interesting. Now, Ed, earlier you mentioned the investment side. Can you talk me a little bit about how that works? Because obviously it seems like it is a process where the money could, where clients sign up, but then the money is donated further down the line. It's not an instantaneous process. So can you talk me about the investment side of things? And then linked to that a little bit is a bit on the commercial. So how CAF earns its revenue?
Sure. It starts right at the outset as a kind of with the tax effective planning of saying, what kind of assets do you want to give into your donor advised fund account in the first place.
And that's not just, it can be more than things than just money.
Exactly. So it can be cash, it can be onshore, offshore. You know, high net worth individuals that might be non-dom residents, they can give their money offshore, get the UK tax receipt onshore, claim the income tax relief in the UK, but not have paid the remittance charges of bringing funds onshore. We also have a specialist service and a fund for dual US-UK taxpayers, where they're able to claim the tax reliefs in both the US and the UK on any charitable contributions they make. We can accept gifts of shares. So again, that example I kind of mentioned earlier of someone who might have shares in a business or indeed just shareholding in public market funds or equities. Those can all be gifted if they are the most tax effective option.
Without CGT.
Without CGT, exactly.
Which is a big issue.
which is a pretty hot topic right now, yeah. So, you know, or even sometimes some more adventurous stuff. So we have had examples of people giving us property. I think over the years, we've had some, even had a portrait, a very valuable painting. We've had a military, a Victoria Cross medal gifted to us. So it really, you know, can be all sorts of assets. Again, we'll sit down with an advisor to these clients to work out what's the best thing to get in. But some of those things might be shares. And yeah, these are, you know, individuals who are giving considerable sums of money. So the minimum threshold is £25,000, but generally across our client base, you know, people who are giving hundreds of thousands of pounds, you know, even tens of millions of pounds to charity. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be, you know, it's a long-term plan for giving that money away. And so investing the assets whilst they are with us and whilst the plan for giving it away or deploying it is still being formulated is a key part of it. So we work with advisors to on a client's account to come up with an investment strategy that might be similar to something they've got in their wealth portfolio. That's not...
Do you have permissions to manage investments or is it outsourced?
There's kind of a range of options. So very... The easiest comparison is to a SIP. We call it a self-advised investment plan, mm-hmm. Where the client or their advisor can log on to their online account and look at the list of available permitted investment options in the public markets and just send us a request to execute a trade, buy or sell to rebalance a portfolio. We use a trading platform for
that.
Can
you say which one?
We use a range of different brokers to kind of access the markets. So it's not all restricted to one platform. So that's one option for clients. That's very much a self-serve, as I say.
It's led by the advisor and the end client.
Exactly. And then for clients who've got more than £1 million, we can also outsource and go and get discretionary portfolio management with a third party investment manager. And so we have about 15 or 20 investment managers already signed up on our books who manage portfolios for some of our clients. And you know, we'd always be willing to, for new clients that are bringing those assets across the charitable threshold for us to steward for them, we would love to have more conversations with other investment managers about that.
Interesting. Definitely. Well, obviously that's a big part of kind of Citywire. We have both the advisors and the wealth managers side of things. And Ed, something we were talking about earlier was just the donor advised market in general. I think you said there's something about 5 billion in the UK.
Yeah, it's a pretty rapidly growing market here in the UK, still dwarfed by the scale of the market in the US, but it is, as I say, growing rapidly.
How big is the US market, do you know?
I'm testing you. I've seen lots of different numbers, at least 30 billion. And I think it's considerably bigger than that in the US. And yet here in the UK, it's certainly over 5 billion, nearing 8 billion, I think, at the last, one of the last counts that I saw across donor advised funds. But there is also some nuance as to exactly what organizations are classed as donor advised funds. So different reports will come up with slightly different figures as ever in this space, but it's an increasingly competitive market.
You're not the only players.
We're certainly not, but we're the oldest and the largest. We've been doing what we do for 100 years. It's our centenary year this year. And we have around 50% of the market share here in the UK in terms of gifts in and gifts out every year. So we're certainly one of the most kind of trusted and stable and secure offerings out there, because we're a fully independent charity. Our primary and absolute focus is on ultimately helping clients to deploy those assets for impact at the end of the day. So we're really focused on the value add that we can provide through our advice. We've got a huge ecosystem of charities, 160,000 charities that we distributed money to across the group last year, from, as I say, from the US, Canada, and the UK, in I think 114 countries. So we're a global kind of organization in terms of that scale.
Mm. And obviously you are a charity, Ed, you said, but how do you make your money?
So we charge an AUM fee for the service that we provide and the facility.
Like advisors do.
Exactly like advisors do. And then, you know, for deeper bespoke advice stuff and some more complex transactions, there might be some additional charges as well. But the AUM fee, it's on a graded scale.
So it varies based on assets.
Exactly. Starting at 1.5%. But for most clients, it comes down below 1%.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, it's definitely an interesting area, philanthropy, for our readers. I mean, we had an interesting story earlier this year about an advisor whose client, under his, their kind of, well, it was part of their financial plan, where they donated money to a mountain rescue charity, which bought a drone, which helped rescue an escaped monkey in Scotland. I think it was called Himanshu. It was on the news, like, globally. So we had this really nice story about this advisor who had his, like, his financial plan helped to save this, kind of inadvertently save this rescue, this monkey in Scotland.
I saw that story, and, you know, even telling that story has brought a smile to your face. And it really is. That's the joy of this, and why I would encourage all advisors to clue up a little bit on philanthropy, what the options are, and start to explore how to start having those conversations with clients, because it is a really enjoyable part of building a relationship with these clients, and a massive value add for the advisor business. We've run some research with advisors, and we see that, one, there is definitely an increasing demand for the ability to talk about impact and philanthropy with, particularly with next gen clients. And we also know that the vast majority, I think four fifths of advisors say that they don't have the confidence levels to talk about philanthropy at the moment. But a donor advised fund really is an incredibly simple solution. It's just another product that can be part of their toolkit that they can talk to clients about.
Well, Ed, I think on that sales pitch, which you made very eloquently, I think we're going to have to leave it there. But Ed, thank you so much for joining me.
Well, thanks for having me.
And thank you all for listening.
From jet engines to space rockets, telephones to computers, the world has seen spectacular change in the last 100 years, and the pace of progress is getting faster and faster. From electric cars to the metaverse, drone deliveries to climate solutions and genetic sequencing, we're investing in the companies that are not just changing the world today, but are also shaping the future. The Scottish Mortgage Investment Trust, managed by Baillie Gifford. Invest in progress. Capital at risk.